Breakfast with Martin Vester.
Well, it's all over the news. It's on everyone's timeline. I'm talking about the load shedding at the moment. It does affect you in some way or the other. So I asked Ted Blum very kindly just to pop in this morning just to give to shed some light on the situation. Ted, how's it? Thanks for popping in.
Hi, good morning.
Just quickly, so this time round, it kind of came unexpected because it happens on weekends, which I thought normally would be lower power consumption, and even the school holidays. So it must be really, really bad then, stage four.
If you do the calculations roughly, South Africa's demand after hours and over weekends drops dramatically from roughly 30 gigawatts currently to below 22 gigawatts.
Okay.
Eskom declared a stage four load shedding schedule. That means that there's four gigawatts off, so 22 minus 4 gets you to 18. They only had 18 gigawatts of capacity available for generating power out of a fleet of 46 gigawatts. So that means more than 50% of their units are offline, not in a state of repair. And that's a real crisis.
What happened to those units?
Well, I believe they've got 8 units with boiler tube leaks, and the boiler tube leaks are directly attributable to poor coal being fed into the boilers.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that, and that's going to take at least 5 years to sort out, because Eskom needs to procure long-term contracts with decent quality coal. And it's the new board's been there for more than a year now, and they haven't done one of those contracts. I can't believe it.
What's the story with Mozambique?
Okay, the Mozambican stuff has been around since, it's about just over a gigawatt of electricity. It's been around since about 1986, 87. It's a hydro scheme, Cabora Bassa, the hydro scheme. There's a long line, DC line from the dam through the rural parts of Mozambique into South Africa. Mm. That has never been part of South Africa's base load, and I'll explain why. If you recall, when you were younger, you would have heard of the terrorist war in northern Mozambique. Mm. So those lines were very vulnerable to interruption and explosions and so forth. So for that reason, Eskom and South African energy public never considered that load base load.
So we never depended on it?
Absolutely not.
So why would it be a reason now for us not having...
Well, because we've got nothing else. So, and that electricity, the only reason we kept going at it is because it's super cheap. It was paid for by the Portuguese before they left Mozambique. So it comes at about less than 2 cents a kilowatt hour.
So we have been using power from there, but we've never been dependent on it because it's only one gig.
Well, just over 1 gigawatt.
Just over 1 gigawatt.
Yes.
So when you only have 18 at the moment... Even that 1 gigabyte wouldn't one gig wouldn't make a difference.
Absolutely, it's just peripheral.
Oh. So you've already discounted the Mozambican reason, okay? They're also saying that they don't have diesel for these units to run. Do we have a diesel crisis?
Absolutely. It seems to me that Eskom has run short on the diesel, and I think we talked about it last time. The supply chain for the diesel comes from the Middle East. It takes a ship about 5 days to arrive in Cape Town after they've ordered it. And because they're never sure when they need going to be load shedding, and they don't have storage, that's the big problem. They have to try and anticipate when they're going to have load shedding, then order the diesel 5 days before for it to arrive.
I always, in my mind, expect these reasons to be a lot more complex.
It's simple.
You're telling me it's bad quality coal and they didn't order the ship in time for diesel. It just sounds so rudimentary.
And they haven't got storage. They need to. Eskom did a plan for storage in 2008. The EIA got rejected. In 10 years, they've never resubmitted and fixed up the EIA. I mean, if you're building a house and your plans are rejected, you fix them up and you resubmit. That's all they need to do.
So the reason why we don't have diesel on hand is because there's no storage for the diesel, so they have to order a ship, which takes 5 days.
It's madness.
What else I want to ask you? The water thing. I just saw, and Khada, you also carried it in your news at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
That so, they're saying the pumps are going to go down, possibly.
Yeah, so Rand Water at this stage don't want to comment any further, but they said there was an agreement up to stage 3. Their pump stations will be left alone.
Mm.
But from stage 4, Eskom can start also load shed where they are pumping water from to the rest of Gauteng.
They wouldn't do that, would they?
Look, anything is possible. At the end of the day, you need to protect the integrity of the grid. Because if that is compromised, you'll sit for weeks and weeks without any power. So if it's a utmost emergency, then hospitals and the water pumps probably are in line to be switched off. However, this causes havoc. Even the normal load shedding, you will see more and more news of transformers blowing up. Why? Because they aren't being serviced properly and they're not made to switch on and off. So when you put them back on, they get a surge, and that surge causes a spark or an arc, and that causes the thing to explode.
On our complex WhatsApp group, someone said the substation blew up somewhere in Sunning Hill, and then someone else said, but how can it blow up if there's no power because of the load shedding? Now I understand. They're not meant to switch on and off.
That's right.
Why they're blowing up.
That's right. So when they get switched off, there's metal in the dissolved metal in the oil of the transformer. That then sediments down into the bottom of the casing. It forms a cone. And that cone, there's a high point, which is much closer to the element than what it normally would be if it gets serviced regularly and stays on. And so the chances of it shorting out are much higher after it's had a chance to cool down and sedimentation takes place. And then you switch it on with a surge.
That's why they blow.
Absolutely.
And on a smaller scale, my fridge?
That also is not made to be switching on and off all the time. So, and also, when the power comes back on, any electronic appliance is at risk because of the surge.
There's actually a question about that. Listen to this.
Môre Martin en span. Die load shedding, dit is net genoeg tyd vir goed soos jou yskas en jou diepvries en daai goeders om af te loop. Dan loop daai goed af en as die krag aankom, dan trek hulle hoë krag. En jou krag word betaal deur die ampere wat jy trek. So is dit nie 'n manier om die ampere op te jaag sodat hulle targets kan maak op hulle geld nie.
It's a conspiracy theory right there.
That listener is absolutely correct.
What?
When the appliances switch back on, it does cause a surge in the demand for power, and you pay a penalty on peak demand. If your peak demand goes up, you pay an extra penalty on that on your monthly account. So heavy equipment that surges on and off can more than double your monthly account.
Wow!
Great. Wow. That's not fun.
I didn't see that one coming.
No. Ted, thanks for popping in for such a short time. I think we've covered quite a bit. Just one more question quickly. A lot of people are asking, you know, why can't we, because we've been supplying Botswana and Namibia with Eskom power. Can we not maybe ask for them just to return the favor a little bit while we...
Okay, so we supply the South African power pool, which is Namibia, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Lesotho, and Swaziland. But they don't have the generating power of their own at the moment. They have overdunked the South African supply idea, and they're all feverishly busy building up their own generating capacity, and that should be online within the next 2 years or so. If you can just get back to the accounts, the consumers are probably not aware that if the power is not available and they are paying as a rule, they will be paying for power availability on it's called the line charge. To the extent that is not available and there's load shedding, each person is entitled to a rebate of those charges. And if people have a problem getting that reduced, they're welcome to contact me and I'll help them get the rebate.
Sure. Okay, well, I didn't know that either. Ted, always educational. Thank you so much for coming in. Really do appreciate your time. Ted Blom, energy expert. I hope that shed some light on the power shedding failure thing.
Breakfast with Martin Bester.
Elke ochtend is een vrij lekker ochtend.
6 to 9 weekdays on Jacaranda FM.